Welcome to a special episode of Bravo and Blaze. It is an honor to have two amazing ladies who co-host one of the newest top charting podcasts. We signed an NDA. Please allow me to welcome Amanda Lifford and Anne Maddox. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Top charting podcast. Nice. Oh, my. Yes.
You are. You guys are doing so amazing. I'm so proud watching you guys do your podcast. I love it.
Oh my God. One of the pioneers we aspire to.
Oh my gosh. Yes. That's such a nice thing to say. Okay, Amanda, I wanted to start with you. So you used to be on The Vile Files with Nick Vile.
Yes.
Can I just tell you something?
Sure.
I think I might hate Nick Vile. Not intentionally. Like, I didn't know who he was until Scandoval. And I'll tell you why I think I might hate him. For one, during Scandoval, I'm like, who is this Nick Vile guy? I don't watch any dating shows. I think they're so weird. I'm like, what? Why are these people like Love is Blind? I start watching some of that. And I'm like, why did she just say, I'm not going to say I love you until she's engaged? Like, what is happening? Like, that's just so weird to me. So I don't watch The Bachelor, any of that stuff. Although I did date two guys like a long time ago. I dated two guys that were on Bachelorette before, and they were both like kind of douchey. So that made me not want to watch that more.
That checks out.
Yeah. A douchebag will paint stuff. They really do.
Yeah. So I don't know who Nick is. And then Scandoval happened. Nick is interviewing every single person from Vanderpump Rules, like the entire world. And I'm like, who is this guy? And then turns out he's straight. He's a white guy. I'm like, the worst. And then top it off with, he never watched the show. Are you kidding me, sir? But then, okay, and I was like, maybe, you know, whatever, I'll let it go. Zenny Jenny. And then he gets front row seats to watch Tom Sandoval be tortured on Special Forces. I mean, all of these things made me not like Nick Vile, really. But I wanted to know from your standpoint, what can you tell us about your career path and how you got involved with Nick Vile in the first place without breaking any NDAs, obviously?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I moved to LA after college and joined all the little job listservs. And through one of those email blasts, heard about, like, it was one of those like very mysterious job postings where it's like pop culture figure. So I applied and it started out as a role that was really social media heavy, which was awesome because I think, you know, like trying to figure out what from a podcast would make the best social content, I think really honed some like analytical skills and whatnot. Nick was always really generous about wanting, you know, people to advance. And for me, I do a lot of improv. I love to gab. I kind of slowly got the opportunity to have a presence on air. And by the time I left, I was like, you know, a sidekick co-host moment, which I loved.
I love it. And so, Anne, we know that you are the former assistant of Tom Sandoval, and you've been on Vanderpump Rules quite a lot so far. On last week's episode, there were discussions about Tom potentially firing you versus you guys taking a break. It seemed like it wasn't very clear. Then we also see Tom Sandoval on the after show talking about serving papers to you for that was just like, I'm like, no, he did not. But then today I saw that there was like something, I think it was Reality T on Instagram, they said that you have officially been hired by Ariana and Katie for something about her. Is that true? Can you tell us about that?
Wait, Amanda, can I tell them about that?
I think it might be like you'll have to stay tuned throughout the season to find out.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you'll have to stay tuned to find out.
How did you two connect and how did everything come to fruition?
Ooh. Well, Amanda and I did improv together at the same show, and we kind of just immediately fell in love with each other. Like, oh, you're so funny. Let's hang out.
Anne is
Yeah.
so
That's my
funny.
dream.
Amanda's so funny.
No, but I feel like I'm like low-key kind of picky where it's like there's a lot of people that I will smile and laugh with, but like Anne was one of the people where I was like, at first, I was like, I actually don't know how to process all the things I'm feeling because I think I'm maybe a little bit angry about how funny this human being is and how like
Oh
radiant and
my
kind. And then obviously I was like, I love her, but I was like, the first reaction was kind of a visceral, like, how is this possible for this combination of attributes in a human being? Like, this is amazing.
Amanda, that's the best compliment I've ever received. Thank you so much. That's
Oh
so
my
sweet.
gosh.
And
That
ditto,
is really
everything.
sweet. It's so
Yeah.
easy. And it's like, it's so nice because I think, like, out the gate, I was like, this person's so funny. I really fuck with her. And then, we found out we both worked for
Yeah.
men in the reality TV space.
Yep.
And so,
And we also live literally across the street from each other. Amanda
you
sent
do.
me a yeah, she sent me a party invite and I was like, "Is this a joke? Like you're it's like same street, one number off." And then it turned out she like my bedroom window looks into Amanda's bedroom window. So it was
That
like
could have
meant to
came
be.
off creepy if at first. Like,
You're
what? You're
stalking me.
inviting me to your party that's right across the street? Okay. No, that is so cool. You guys are like having a friends moment, like Joey Chandler, Monica, Rachel. I love this.
100%.
Gosh, would you guys ever do a reality show?
Oh.
I would do anything with Amanda. Like, you don't even have to ask. I'm in. 100%.
Because I mean, it sounds like a perfect fit. You guys are literally working together now. You met at improv. You have this like super meet cute moment of how you
Right?
met. Oh my God, I'm obsessed.
I do want to go on the Amazing Race more than anything in this world. And
Why?
so,
Let's
and
do
Anne will go to
it.
Beach
Together, can I go with you?
Japanese. Oh my God,
Oh, yeah.
please. We'll be
Let's do
the
a
first
trio.
throuple on the Amazing Race. It will be iconic. Anne
Yes,
went to high school in
let's do
Cairo. Like, that's something there are
it.
so many things where I'm like, Anne is humble and like is never going to brag about herself. So there's like many different areas where I'm like, I need to spread the good word about all the things that this woman does. In
My
addition to her being
gosh.
like a comedic gem, she grew up
Oh
in
my
Japan. She went to high school
God.
in Egypt. Like, she has just truly like the biggest world view and she's so cool.
Amanda. Oh my God,
Sorry.
my
Sorry.
head's
I hope I'm
gonna
not embarrassing
pop off
you.
my head. No. You're blowing my ego to like up too much. I can't handle
You're gonna
it.
start having an affair soon.
No, I
Wait, so when did you
don't
guys
want that. Oh, sorry.
first meet? What year? Like, how long has this friendship been going on?
It's
How long?
fresh.
Like 2 years? Yeah. Maybe
Yeah.
one and a half? Not too
Yeah.
long. Yeah.
Leadership's in the night for a while. Like where it was like I would
Yes.
see her do improv and be like notice her. But then I think it was like it maybe like 6 months until we like actually had a conversation.
Yeah.
And we're like,
And we finally
okay,
were like, I love you.
I
I just
adore
like I think I just walked
you.
up to Amanda and was like, I'm obsessed with you.
Maybe like, you're so funny, you make me mad. Wait, so if you guys went on the Amazing Race, who would be the strong partner
Amanda.
in like
Immediately, Amanda.
I'm from
I'd be like,
Boston and
I'm tired.
I feel like I have this
There's
like kind
cake
of
at the store.
competitive thing that would
Yeah,
really
I'm
come
not
to
very
light.
competitive. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, should we just like check in with our emotions right now? Should we
She's
take
a
a
lover.
break?
I'm a fighter. We balance each other
That's
out.
so great. Yeah, that is a great balance. I feel like this is something we should manifest right
Right? I'm in. I'm in.
now.
Or
Oh my
traders
gosh.
as a team would be really fun too.
I was just gonna mention the traders. So
Right?
we love. How much do we love the traders?
Love. Love.
Would you guys go on the traders as well?
I totally would, but I have one request, which is I
Weed?
rather when they no.
That's mine.
I actually rather not. But
That's my request.
that one challenge where the bugs fall on you, I can't do it. Like
No.
I would do the rats, like there's always like rats in one room and then
Oh
bugs in the
no.
other.
Hell
Way
no.
rather chill with the rats than the bugs. I can't do bugs.
I
That's
would
it.
pay them to get out of that room. I don't like, I wouldn't even care about the money. I'd be like, get me out of here. This is torture. Why would you do this? Like, I don't mess with that fear factor type of stuff.
I
What about you,
hate it. I hate
Amanda?
it.
Could you do it, Amanda?
Okay, so
She could. She could. She could.
I want to be really transparent. I am a referenceless woman who is trying, I'm fighting for my life to catch up on TV. I did not have cable growing up. I blame everything else on that. I have only
Gosh.
seen The Australian Traitors and part of that season,
Oh.
and I loved it.
Oh,
But
good. I want to
I feel
watch
like
that.
it was, you know, I feel like the accents make everything better. I don't
It
know. I
does.
just feel like it would, I don't know. I you know, like the two wolves, like I think it generally like try to lean into the more like easygoing, like I love people, love chatting side. And I worry traitors would bring out like the Boston in a scary, scary
Yes.
way. Do you think you'd be unhinged? Because I think I would be the most unhinged. Like, I shouldn't ever even think about going on that show because I would totally ruin my life. What does unhinged mean to you? Like, are there any specific
Like,
scenarios you're envisioning?
wild, crazy, like just reactive and like dramatic
You're
and
the traitor.
super
You're the traitor.
emotional.
You're
Yeah, like
the
just spiraling nonstop, like running around
traitor.
like a crazy person. That's my version of unhinged.
I love that. I love that. I'd probably be kicked off immediately. They're like, "Well, you're not a traitor, but we're gonna sacrifice you."
They would kill you because they're like, she's too likable and powerful.
Oh, thank you. That's a compliment. I like it.
Influential. They do. They kick off people who are influential.
Ooh, okay, maybe I should play the like pretend I'm mean then.
Yeah,
Pretend
would
I'm
you be
like
able to
sneaky.
be a traitor?
I know I can't. I can't. I hate lying. I hate tricking people. I don't know. It's just like maybe, but very doubtful. I think I would fuck it up immediately.
It seems stressful.
Yeah,
What
it's
about
too
you,
stressful.
Amanda? Would you be able to do it?
Oh, I think I would have a mental breakdown if I
Yeah.
did do it successfully. Like there would be a
Yeah.
cost to it that would
Yeah.
come towards the end, I think.
Yeah. I think the manipulation part would be too hard. I would feel bad that I'm like lying to people and then taking all their money in the end. I would do it if I could like end up splitting the money with whoever's left.
If it were
I'm
all
trying.
men, I feel like we could
Good.
do it, Anne. Because, like, for me, I think there's this part of me
Yes.
that, like, tomboy played soccer. Like, one of my favorite experiences as a kid was like playing soccer with the boys. They thought I would be dog shit and be like, I'm gonna score a goal on you. So I think that I would be able to dig deep and
Oh,
potentially
yeah.
pull it off. But, like, I would feel bad lying to women.
Yes,
I'm the
put me in
same
a room of
way.
villains.
Oh my gosh, totally. I would not feel bad at all about lying to a man. Oh my gosh. Speaking of men that lie a lot. Well, actually, I don't know that much about Nick Vial. Does he lie? Is he a liar? What's he like? I don't.
He's a very private person. He's a straight shooter, and you know,
I do have to
I
say, I have a lot of respect for what he accomplished on Special Forces because I. As much as I joke around saying, like, oh my God, he's so privileged, he got a front seat to watch Tom Sandoval be tortured. At the same time, like, I would have been out day one. I wouldn't have been able to watch all of that because it wouldn't have lasted as long as Nick did. And I was really impressed.
I knew he was gonna win. Like when he was, I'm sure everybody says that, but like I was like, there is no, like this man will not give up. Like he is relentless and he will
Wow.
like push himself like over. Like he is just really like when he wants to get something done, he gets it done. Like he is forceful and
Wow.
like he can, yeah.
That sounds very hetero white male of him.
Meanwhile, I'm like the gay, but like the little bisexual with the nose ring being like, reality TV
Let's talk about we signed an NDA. What is your plan with we signed an NDA? What do you want to accomplish out of it? What is like your brand? What are your core values?
Well, we definitely want to pass the mic to the people who are kind of unseen in the Hollywood world, like the assistants who kind of do all the work but never really are like told to hide the shadows.
Are
And
they
yeah, we
told
want
to
to
hide?
spotlight them.
They're
I
told to
was
hide.
literally told, like sometimes you have to run and get something for your boss, but then they'll be shooting, so I have to like just run into a closet and shut it and like wait till the take is over, and then you kind of creep
No.
out.
Oh my
So
gosh. Yeah, it's very dehumanizing.
but it's part of the job,
There's something about the assistant life where it's like this combination of like, there's certain tasks where it's like just, and this is nothing to do with any boss. It's just the nature of the job where it's like you are meant to be an extension of another person, but also invisible and like zero maintenance. So there's just like this like weird, like, am I a person? But also I'm in these rooms with all these famous people. And I think being in comedy in LA, all of our friends are assistants. And just like, it's like the assistants know what's happening. Like the assistants know who's a good person. They know like how shit gets done. They know who is in charge. And so part of it is like, you know, it's also like it's a role where there's so much trust involved. And I think like, you know, not only is it that we don't want to get sued, like I genuinely would never want to violate someone's privacy who's let me in. I've, you know, like seen firsthand, you see how celebrities get burned and how they like as a result, like have to live this really get like guarded life where they're so mindful of who they let in. So I would never want to betray that. So it's less about being like, let's expose all the shit we saw, and more like, as someone who's seen how this machine works, how can we now, as we see other stuff from this machine come out of the woodworks, like analyze it and, you know, with like the perspective.
Yeah, if
Oh,
they
I
are
love that.
seen, they're not heard from. And so, we want to give them a chance to kind of speak up and have the mic, if that makes any sense.
No, I love that. I didn't know that most people who were assistants were also in comedy. And I find that to be so interesting, and it makes so much sense because you probably need to have a sense of humor to deal with some of these people, I'm assuming.
Oh yeah, it helps a lot. It definitely
Yeah.
helps.
And improv specifically, when it's like your job is to assist this person in all areas of their life or like many different areas. And so it kind of makes sense that it's somebody who feels comfortable in like unknowns where it can be kind of an unpredictable job, depending on who you work for. And like, you know, there's like assistant support groups on Facebook, and you'll see all these like crazy postings where it's like, my boss needs a passport, like overnighted to Zimbabwe. Does and then someone's
Oh,
like, I
God.
actually know the person who works at the embassy. Like, it's just crazy.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I love true crime and the whole like Randall Emmett, Randall Neck Ives situation. I thought I was so sad for his assistants whose like lives were destroyed because of what Randall did. And I don't know, is it like, is that normal in Hollywood still to this day?
I would say yes.
Oh
I'm just gonna
no.
call it like it is. Yeah, that it happens all the time. It's everywhere. And I think that's
Yeah.
probably a part of why we want to, allow assistants to speak up, because it's crazy. It's absolutely insane, and it's completely acceptable, and that's bananas to me. Like, it shouldn't be.
And it depending on your boss, like I think, you know, I've been so fortunate, like I've been in the podcasting space, but like you look at the culture at like management and talent agencies, and it's just like there's this like intensive pay your dues, like expect to get like screamed at and degraded, or like in some cases, like literally have shit thrown at you. And because it's glamorous Hollywood, and because the people you're emailing are like Jennifer Coolidge or whoever else, like I think there's something about like the glamour of the world that allows a lot of other really nasty, dark stuff to transpire. And this, like, you're replaceable. Someone else will do this. Someone else wants their shot in Hollywood. Like, you're betting on yourself. A million other people are just moved here from Iowa. Like, you're not special. And so I think it does just like create this culture where there's like such a slanted power dynamic.
Yeah, I told this story in like a article, but so sorry I'm repeating it, but I definitely had that situation where I was an assistant to an executive and she wouldn't allow me to go to the bathroom and I got my period all over my pants. Like every time I got up to go, she would scream at me to sit back down. And so finally I like ruined a pair of pants because I was so afraid of being screamed at by this woman.
Oh my gosh, that's
Yeah.
awful.
The Devil Wears Prada could
Yeah.
have been a documentary. Like, I think people think it's
Yes.
exaggerated, and then you move here and you're like, oh shit,
Oh
it's
no.
not really.
So, do
Yeah.
you guys feel like, I mean, I'm 42, so I remember the days when I was young and there were no iPhones and people didn't have a production studio in their pocket. But nowadays, we all do. And this kind of behavior that you're talking about really should not be able to fly anymore, especially with
Yeah.
like the Me Too movement and all of that. However, I think Hollywood, because we're seeing decades of this abusive and toxic environment living and breathing and thriving for so long, it's hard to like chip away at it. But and then there's like people like us who are like, hey guys, listen up. You know, what do you guys think about that? Because it makes me sad to know what has gone on for so long, but it also at the same time with technology, I feel hopeful that maybe things can change someday, and especially with people like yourselves. What do you guys think about
Oh,
that?
and do you want to, or I can, whatever you want.
yeah, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I think it's like, oh my God, sorry, my brain goes a million different places thinking about
No, it's a lot.
like, 'cause I was thinking about this like when how going on Instagram now, it's like, and I don't necessarily follow a ton of like hyper political accounts, but it's like, you know, especially I know this was happening way before 2020, but I think in 2020 there was a huge uptick in sort of using social media and harnessing it as a power, like as a place
Tool.
for activism. But there's something really, it can't be healthy for my brain to go from like a good friend getting engaged to like genocide in one scroll. And
I know,
so,
it is rough.
right. And so it's like on one hand, I feel like it's, in some ways, it feels good that there's less barriers to entry in all capacities. Like whether it's like you breaking into the entertainment industry and it's like you can make really funny videos from your home and like make it happen, or whether it's just like people who might not have like gone to a protest now getting to see this access like on their Instagram feed, et cetera. Like in some ways, I think that's so positive, but in other ways, it feels like it's a lot to process for
That's,
people.
yeah.
And I don't know, I think sometimes there's this perception in Hollywood for some people of like, haven't we gone a little far? Like people who, I don't like take the comedy community, for example, like where a lot of theaters have scholarships that are like available to BIPOC or like queer students, some places like they're like, women still qualify as underrepresented. Otherwise they're like, no more white women, too many. But like, you know, and I think those programs are so necessary, but I think when there's younger people who are in these hyper liberal environments, I think sometimes people almost view them as like redundant when it's like, no, like these are essential. Like this is not gone too far. Like this is still like, it takes so long to pass over like leadership and to actually funnel people into the industry and let them rise in the ranks to positions of power. Like it's essential we have these like entry level things. I'm sorry, that was a huge rant.
No,
No, that was great.
I agree. If I could add on to that, like I feel like when you're young and starting out in this industry, you think a lot of people tell you this is the norm. It's weird, but it's the norm, and you just kind of have to like deal with it in order to pay your rent, whatever function, have a job. And I do remember being told that, and then it wasn't until finally talking to other people and meeting other assistants to be like, oh, this is not the norm. This isn't how you should be treated. And I kind of want to make that gap go faster, quicker. And I think by just talking about it and like, you know, podcast kind of format, we get to that, have that discussion and that discord, and then, you know, maybe things will start changing. Like it starts with a conversation. So I
Yeah.
don't know.
No,
Did
definitely.
I
I mean,
go?
No,
Yeah.
that's exactly it. And that's like essentially why I started Bravo and Blaze. It was to bridge the gap between mainstream pop culture media and what I consider the true cannabis industry as an extension of health and wellness. And when I started, it was during COVID, they weren't really talking about weed on Bravo. And now they won't
Yeah.
shut up about it. So
They're having weed dinners. I got a picture.
I know. Yes. Upside
So
down jackets. Oh,
and they're all having, I'm sorry, 2 milligrams? That's not gonna do shit.
Yeah,
That was for
no.
me personally.
I'm on 2 milligrams now. Like, what is
Yeah.
that? I do admit that I did. So I work a temp job right now and it's very tiring. I love it, but it's very tiring. So I did smoke a joint as soon as I got home. And I was like, I'll probably be fine by the time I do, Bravo and Blaze, but I do still feel a little high. So I'm just like warning
Oh, you're totally fine. No issues
Okay.
there. So,
I'm like a little in my head right now, so okay.
I just started thinking about something now because you, now that I know that you guys are in improv and comedy, and then we're talking about technology and how things are changing, what do you guys think about Matt Rife?
Oh wait, who's Matt Rife?
He's
Sorry. Oh my God.
a
Oh boy.
stand-up comedian. He started as a TikToker and he's
I
known for
do.
his crowd work or
The
whatever.
pretty guy, the guy who's like, I'm
Yes.
so hot. Like, why you're judging me? This is discrimination.
He's a cis
No.
male.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yes, he's a cis male. He totally is.
Yeah.
I mean, he would not be able to make an hour of being in the BIPOC community, a person of color. Like, he would not survive. I don't think he
I
could.
don't
If
think
he's
so either.
already complaining with all that privilege,
I
like,
know.
I don't think
It's
he could
crazy.
spend a day. Yeah.
Yeah, it's also like not to be a colossal bummer, but like the domestic violence joke just like was
Oh,
in his
yes.
special was just like not funny. And I think there's ways to take subjects like that can be incredibly sensitive. And I think there's ways to find humor in them, but oftentimes that's because you're coming from the perspective of like, you're not punching down,
Yeah.
like you are somehow like using the punchline as the flaws in society, as opposed to
Yes.
like, and it's just stuff like that where it's like, damn, dude, like people like comedians, when they go, whenever a comedian, like whenever a white dude goes on a rant about cancel culture, I'm like, the issue is that you're not funny. Like, that's truly at the root of this. And also, there's so many men who are like, I can't say anything anymore. And it's like, you're doing a whole lot of talking about how you can't make any jokes. Haven't heard a joke in a while. Like,
Right? Oh my
nobody's
gosh.
like policing. Like, it's like this idea that people are like policing you or being like the PC police. It's like, we're not laughing at your shit. And yeah, maybe we're also saying like, I found this problematic for XYZ ways, but ultimately, like, you're a fucking comedian. Figure it out. Like, stop complaining and
Yeah.
whining and saying, why isn't the audience liking me? Like, write better
Like,
jokes.
yeah, like Steve Martin did, and he was famous in like the
Oh, I love
70s. So,
him.
like, I know he's the best. I love
I
him
love
too.
Steve Martin.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it's like, it's doable. It's been proven to be doable. So just do it if you want to do it. Don't stop complaining.
Well,
Get out of my face. Sorry.
I'm calling out Matt Rife specifically because I feel like he got to where he is now. He's selling out tours, doing
That's
stand up. That's
crazy.
not even good, in my opinion, compared to
Yeah.
other people who deserve it. Like, look at Joe Coy. I think he's the most amazing comedian. He makes
Oh, I
me
love that.
laugh and cry. And
Oh.
I mean, he tells a story about how Netflix turned him down and they would say, like, no, we're not doing this. He put in his own money to shoot his own special, and they still called and were like, no, we don't want it. But then
Wow.
he had to like prove himself, you know, because he doesn't have that
Yeah.
privilege that like Matt Rife has as this younger generation comedian who makes a couple TikToks and then is selling out, you know, these places, these big venues,
Yeah.
and
Right. And
getting
like to
Netflix
Matt Rife's
specials.
credit, like it seems like he really like he found a niche and it like my understanding of it and like I might have heard this on like Giggly Squad or like I'm no way taking credit for this idea, but like it seems like kind of people's take is like he found this niche of like kind of commenting on like making fun of, joking about like women and like kind of like, you know, like the vocal fry voice, like that kind of thing. And it seemed like, you know, he clearly found something that was effective and that was making people laugh enough to like grow to prominence. But like, it seems like the issue everyone has is that he's now like acting holier than that or like better than. And it's like, don't turn your back on the people who like made you
Yeah.
viral and famous, dude.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's hard. I mean, we're all creators, right? And we all have like our own thing that we do and our different media formats that we communicate through. So it's hard to, especially when you're on your own, to kind of find your voice and find your niche. But you two have each other. Tell me more about,
Oh.
I mean, you guys already seem like you're like soulmates, but tell me about working together on We Signed an NDA. Like, what are the highs? What are the lows? What are you looking forward to? Do you have goals? Any specific goals?
Oh, yeah. Our dream of dreams, at least we talked about this, but like, if a year from now, if we could be at BravoCon doing like a live taping of our show, that would be just, we've made it. Like, that would be heaven. I would reach nirvana.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, I think it's like
yeah.
I feel like at this stage in our show, we're so lucky because we have like amazing, like, you know, right now, like Paradiso and like our producers, Maddie and Brendan, are this like awesome, like kind of force that are like really helping like guide us. And so like that's been really great, I think, to have these like more like official people, because I think like I don't know. I think Anna and I's ultimate goal is that we can be like so fucking silly and like the whole show can be tangents. But it's like we also do feel very passionate about what we want to do with this show, which is platform assistance and like kind of get that lens. So I think the thing that feels like the most exciting and like that's the biggest challenge is like, how do you like translate all of the like goofy, silly, fun stuff, like Anne as my best friend, like us shooting the shit? Like, how do we translate that to a podcast? While also making sure we're like, you know, like doing both the kind of overarching, more like analytical point of the show, while also like having lightheartedness. Like, I think I just have like an authority complex where I'm like, there's an assignment to be done. Then like sometimes I can get like I'll be like very like more kind of like tense and less like free flow, yes, Andy, than I want to be. So I feel like for me, like that's been the biggest like thing that I'm so excited to be like working on and figuring out. And like Anne's a perfect person to do it with because she's like the best person to be silly with. So it's like it's an awesome incentive to be like, okay, Amanda, figure out how to like make sure you're like getting through like the stuff that's really important and meaningful while also like giving yourself the chance to just like follow the fun and get goofy.
The high is like when we get to, record and be goofy together. The low is the actual work you have to do, like
The
editing. We
editing.
are both like, oh God, like one of us has to take it this time. Like, what? It's so much work. Who knew podcasting was so much work?
It's also hard because it's like, it's really hard for me in editing to be like, wait, I don't want to cut anything that Anne says. Or like it feels weird to be like both. Like, I don't know, it sort of feels like judge, jury, executioner when you're editing your own stuff. It's like, well, I would love somebody else's perspective on like what lands the most. Cause like it feels so bizarre to be like, okay, so this episode's a little long. We clearly have to cut tangents. Like, whose stuff do we cut? Cause I don't know. It's
Yeah,
like,
also I'll have like kind of the opposite issue where I'll hear my voice and I would just be like, just cut me out completely. Like, I
no.
can't. I sound so bad and I don't like this.
No, I think that I've been talking to some people about that lately because I still hate the sound of my voice, but I've been doing this for years now.
I
And
have that.
it's funny when new people start, they're like, I really can't get over this. And I'm like, just know you're never gonna get over it. You're always gonna hate it. No, I mean, you have to like just, I don't know, go numb over it. Like, just forget about
Oh, yeah, I'm used to
it.
that. I could do
Everyone hates their own
that.
voice, but I promise you, nobody else cares. I promise.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
I did see one comment one time that was like, Amanda sounds like a demented chihuahua. And I was like, points for creativity. That's a great descriptor.
That
Like, that's
is pretty
evocative
interesting.
language. Like,
Do you guys do
I
video
just,
too?
no, we want to. We'll get there. We'll
We're
eventually
fighting for
figure
our life
out.
with audio. And so it's
One
like,
step
we
at
would
a time.
love to do video,
Yes,
but
yeah. Baby
yeah.
steps, baby steps.
I was just asking because somebody today said I was Sarah Silverman's sister. I see it. But they were saying it like in a negative way, but I was like, I am okay with that.
I would be honored. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, how do you guys, do you read all of your reviews, your comments, all of that
We're
stuff?
struggling. Yeah, we're struggling with that right now. At least I'm struggling with that right now. It's chaos right now. At first, when I first appeared on Vanderpump, all the comments were so nice. I would like cry nightly and just go to bed just feeling so warm and cozy and happy. And now the trolls have come out of the woodwork. I often get like, "You look like the Joker," or someone
What?
made fun. That was a there was like a couple comments, and another one was like, I mean, I posted about my overbite comment, which was I just someone made fun of my overbite, and I just responded, "My dentist says I have a Julia Roberts smile." Like, what do you
You do.
want me to do about it? It's my face. Like, I'm sorry.
Did you guys prepare yourselves before you started? Like, hey, we're gonna have to put ourselves out there. I mean, you're in comedy and you do improv, so you already kind of are used to that, but it's different, I'm assuming, when you have live feedback versus well, the
I was not
internet.
prepared. Yeah, I didn't think anyone would ever care enough to really comment or dive into it, and now I'm pleasantly surprised. Pleasantly, I'm surprised. I'm just simply
Surprised.
surprised.
Yeah, I feel like because I think being on the Vile Files, it was something where, like, of course, it's like I felt so lucky to have that opportunity, and it was always like contextualized as like I am here to kind of supplement my boss's vision for the show. And so I think there's ways where it's like, I really appreciated that certain things, like if I had a different viewpoint on it, like that kind of challenging or sharing another side of things was like welcomed in certain capacities. But I also think like, it's like it's with any show, it's like stuff gets edited out. And so sometimes it's hard because it's like if people it's hard. It's like the reality TV thing of like you don't have control over your own edit. And so I think, the Vile Files, it's like Nick has worked so hard to have this be like a very big show with a really wide audience. But I think there was a degree of separation where it's like when people talked shit about me, like first of all, it was usually about my hair and I was like, true, I don't do it. And like it's like I know that I don't spend and one day I could spend the time to do my hair, but I'm simply not going to do that. But like I think there was also it was helpful being like, well, this isn't like I don't have creative control of this thing. Like I'm here as a very supplemental role. And so I think it's with this show, it feels a lot more vulnerable because like I do get to really like bring my full self to the table, talk about whatever I want to talk about because now I'm, that's a boss privilege. And so now like as we're kind of our own bosses. So I think in that way it like feels a lot more targeted. And I also think for both Anne and I in like an improv background, like I think we're both very like I think we genuinely like other people and like connecting with people and really like I don't know, I think both of us try to come at interactions with like new people just being like awesome, like there's inherent value here. And then obviously sometimes it's proven otherwise, but finding that balance of like we really do want to take into account feedback and like we want to understand what people think and we want to use that as like data points and like ways that we can grow. But then there's also like, okay, but some of these people, it is not in good faith. This feedback is not in good faith. This is like somebody taking
A
out some shit
troll.
that's happening in their marriage on us.
They
Like,
have
I'm sorry.
trauma.
Yes.
Like, my teeth are big. What do you want me to do about it? Like, I need my teeth to eat food. I don't like they and it's weird 'cause they tell you about this, like how there's trolls and, like reality stars get a lot of comments and hate or, it swings like at huge degrees. But you know, I was not prepared for what was to come.
Like, Jenny, have you ever, was there ever a comment that was like maybe on the not necessarily negative, but like constructive side? Like, can you give an example of a comment that's maybe not fully positive, but that was actually like helpful or additive in some capacity? Or do you think it really is just like sometimes people have, they gotta get it out and they get it out on you and it's, you just gotta ignore them?
I think there's a m the majority are people who are triggered and just they just emotionally dump without, and it actually says more about them because what triggers you says a lot about what you're sensitive to, right? And what you're sensitive to usually comes from a place of like trauma or something that you're tied to. But there are some people, and you will find, like, you can tell when you find these people who are actually genuine people who do want to help and give constructive feedback. And the feedback that they give you might not be something you want to hear, but they can deliver it in a way that's not offensive. And you can sense that they actually do care. And I'll take that feedback and that'll resonate with me more. But when it's like I posted something where it was a clip of Ariana talking about like, oh, he wants me to look like a big old bitch or whatever. And I was like, yeah, that's me talking about, starting my podcast or whatever. And a lot of people, Ariana haters, were like, yeah, you both are or something. And I'm like, that doesn't faze me at all. Like, do better. Like, if your burn does not even have a sizzle, then it's not worth my time to even respond.
Yeah, that's for me. That's like being called a snowflake. I'm like, yes, yeah, I am. I'm
We
very
embrace
sensitive
that.
and extremely vulnerable. Yeah, I told you this.
Well, another thing about, the troll comments is I realized early on that I do have to embrace every part of myself and who I am if I'm gonna put myself on a platform like this because you're exposing yourself. And that's why a lot of, well, not a lot, but some podcasters or people on Twitter or on Instagram with these big accounts, they will never show their face. And it's because, I mean, I get it. There's different reasons. And I know some people are just like truly frightened of people violating their privacy. But at the end of the day, I'm like, anyone these days could really, if they really want to, they can find you or find out who you are. It's sad, but it's the truth. And so I just decided when I started, I have to live the most authentically in a safe way. So that I'm not exposing myself, but just know who I am and stay true to that so that if anyone ever throws any daggers at me, like it doesn't affect me because I already know who I am.
Yes, I love that. Oh my God. I do also want to add, like, doing improv, you're like used to a certain kind of audience where you're so putting out, what you think is funny on the spot, which does feel a little more vulnerable to me than like a scripted, comedy situation. I don't know what
For
I'm saying.
sure. I
Yeah,
think so.
so yeah, so it kind of builds this, like, I don't know, this tough skin where if they don't laugh, you push harder. Like you've like tried to force yourself to find that thing that would break the audience.
Yeah, you're
And
like, I'll get you, my pretty. If not this, a different
exactly.
bit.
Yeah, I will keep going like until I get you. I think a lot of
gonna get
improvisers
you.
like, yeah, I'm gonna get you. We have that mentality. So you think you're tough, but then one comment could really haunt you all night long, being like, what do they mean? I think I'm nice. Do they not think I'm nice? So.
I think that's part of it. The thing that's like uncomfortable for me is like it's weird for me to like entirely write someone off as being like nothing, you have no value. And it feels like that's kind of what you need to do when someone says something really fucking nasty about you, is you just need to be like, I don't value your opinion, you have no value. But that's a really counterintuitive thing in like
I
in-person
know.
interactions. So there's this like, it doesn't make sense in the brain at first. And I feel like it just seems like it's like exposure therapy where it's like you get burned enough times that you're like, okay, cool. I
And
can't
there's
turn on
also
this
this,
oven.
right. And there's also this sense of like, oh, I don't know this person. They've never met me. So, like, what is this even? What are we even doing right now? Like, okay,
Yeah.
cool. Like, that's what you think? Great. All right. Bye.
There's
Like,
this
I don't know what to do.
I saw this amazing Australian comedian named Anne Edmonton do a stand-up show once in like truly fucking 2015. But a joke she says that I never forgot was she was like, when it comes to people liking me, I'm going for 100%, not 99, I'm going for 100. Like I am going for 100%. And like that deeply where I was like, oh boy, I've been
Oh,
called out.
can I share one of my favorite troll experiences? It was
Yes.
this woman. She commented, she went on to like my Instagram and commented like, Ant doesn't seem like she's that smart. And then somebody else was like, I don't know, like, have you listened to her podcast? And then she was like, I'm just saying she presents like she's not smart. And then so I responded to it being like, LOL, look at this lady who's like insisting I'm stupid. Like, she will not let it go. And the lady immediately deleted all the comments. I was like, oh, well.
You got her. You won.
Ha ha, I gotcha. If you're listening now.
I
What do
love
you think?
that. You know, it is a really truly satisfying feeling when you've won against a troll.
It really is. You're like, yes. You think you could get me?
I had this whole like it was like a 7-day battle with marathon runners, and I was like, "You think you can run a marathon? This is my marathon.
My internet stamina will blow you to pieces, and my nipples don't even chafe."
And it did, and I fucking won that shit, and I loved it.
Wait, can I ask what it was over? Like, did you say
Oh
something about
my
the
gosh.
marathon community?
So I think it was like Betches or something. They had like a marathon reel or whatever, and I don't even know what it said. It was funny. It was making fun of marathon runners, and I used to run. I don't really run because I'm not a runner, but I've always had so much respect for marathon runners. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Like I could never do that shit. But then I commented and I said something like, I don't understand why people want to run for no reason. Like I was just like adding on, it was like improv. I'm like adding on to the joke, you know? And they went off. Like they just would not stop, called me a drug addict, like all this crazy stuff. I'm like, oh, hell no, you brought it. Let's go. So
Let's go.
every day, I'm like, to the marathon runners, I'm still running. Where are
Yeah, call
That's
me when you have your knee
hilarious.
replacement.
Seriously. I'm like, wow, I always loved marathon runners, but apparently they're miserable people.
Yeah, they're very intense.
Well, I think it's like something that my boyfriend said at a concert that kind of blew my mind was I felt like there was this woman who's I did not like the energy she was putting out. She's being very territorial, like very, and I think like, you know, I think it was like a band, like, you know, it's like definitely a band with like more of like a queer audience. And so I think I feel like part of it, like I think she was kind of giving my boyfriend stink eye because she's like, fuck these straight people. And I was like, I'm a bisexual. I know that doesn't count for anything. But my breaker was like really unfazed with it. And he's like, you know, like I think she's just trying to like protect something that's really important to her. And like that, like framing it as like, oh, your like protectiveness is what's going on for you right now. And even though it kind of seems like unhinged, like, why are you going off on me? It's like you're being a mama bear over a community that is meaningful for you,
I
but
mean,
you're
I
doing
do
it the
have
way.
that with with Taylor Swift when I do get that feeling of like, but why do you hate her? She's amazing.
Like you're simply not important enough.
Have you listened to 1989? It's a great album.
I
What are
feel like
you
people need to be neutral about more things or like open to change. Like, I don't know. I just like, I don't really, I think we have this playbook for like, let's call people out for egregious bad behavior, which I'm so there for. But I don't think we really have a playbook for like, what about the stuff that's like far lower on that spectrum of being problematic? So it's like not as horrible, but it's still wrong. Like more like corrective, like how do we actually like talk to someone and engage with someone in a way that makes them want to like change or see our perspective or like understand that maybe they did something they didn't mean to do and like to just be like, oh yeah, my bad. Like it just feels like the oh my bad thing isn't really an option as much anymore. It's like you're fucking canceled. And so then people are like so fucking defensive about stupid shit.
Do you think that's what it is? They're afraid of being canceled? Like, what is wrong with Tom Sandoval? Everything you were saying, I was applying it to Tom Sandoval. I'm like, yeah, why can't you just say my bad? I think there's a lot of.
Thinking about that. That's so funny. You said it. You said it. We were all thinking it. You said
I think
it.
it takes a lot of like confidence to admit that you're wrong. Like to
Or
be able to
just.
do the mental labor of like, I didn't do this well, but I know I'm still a person who like still has good values or whatever else. Like, I think that takes a lot of like self-awareness.
Or
Well,
just like,
that. Go ahead, Anne.
it's not. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
But like, it's. I think people are afraid to be wrong, but it's not that bad, you guys. Like
No.
everyone's wrong all the time. It's not as scary as people think it is to just be like, oh shit, I fucked up. Like that's all you have to do. And then we could all move on. You just learn from it. That's all it is. It's like you admitting that you need to learn something.
Right. Adaptability is like such an important quality for success. And yet it's like right now, it's like, oh, no, you need to already be there. You can't adapt to improve. You need to already be perfect.
And like it, I don't think it says anything about you if you're wrong. Like it
No, not
says
at
more
all.
about you. It shows more character when you can admit that you're wrong.
Yeah. And I think it's people with a fragile ego who have a hard time admitting that. And it makes me want to psychoanalyze and figure out, like, what happened in your childhood, Tom Sandoval?
Oh my God. I mean, privately doing it in my mind all the time.
I think it
But with
was
everyone.
1995, I think, is when something happened to Tom Sandoval. I'm just kidding, but
Yeah, what was the inciting incident for whatever's going on
I don't know, but
now?
I think Jim Carrey is related somehow. Like a Jim Carrey movie was like the number one movie in the box office at whatever time Tom Sandoval had something happen to him.
I love your posts when you find like outfits he's wearing that are exactly like Jim Carrey's
Yeah, I really truly feel like he's trying to like mimic or like he's adapted his own personality after Jim Carrey somehow. Like, I don't know, he dressed up as him at BravoCon.
Yeah, Dumb and
Yeah.
Dumber. I remember
He
that.
talks about him a lot and like even like some of his mannerisms and like gestures, I'm like, oh my God. I get so
Yes to
creeped
know.
out like of how witchy I am sometimes. Cause
I love it. I love it.
I'll think of things and then Tom Sandoval will do it. And I'm like, am I doing this or is he listening? Like
There's
that's
things that you
Jock
say where I'm
Peterson.
like,
That
oh.
thing. I said that. And I remember because I felt bad about it. And I'm like, I just like, compared him to a convicted murderer. Like that one's maybe taking it too far. But then he repeated it.
Jenny, I have a
Do
question
not
for
listen.
you. Like,
Yes.
kind of speaking on people who are on reality TV, where, like, of course, there's an edit and there's ways that, like, this footage is being curated to, like, push a certain narrative. Like, what for you are the moments that are really telling that you're like, you know, this is indicative of your character and not just like producers trying to stir up drama, either for Tom Sandoval or for like other people?
Yeah, that, I mean, that's actually kind of the biggest question I have. Like all the time when I'm watching, I am always trying to figure out, is this authentic? Is this produced? And I am just constantly trying to put the pieces together. And I think the reason why is because I took Anthropology 101 in college.
Love
Yeah,
that. Oh
let's
my God.
go.
Love.
I had no idea what anthropology was at that time. I thought I
You're like, I
was
love
doing,
that
I thought
score.
it was going to be something way different. And I'm like, oh, this is like a reality show, but for like from the 70s. And it's like this native tribe
Yeah.
of indigenous people. And like, this is an interesting, it
Yes.
was like the first reality show ever.
Truly, truly is fascinating. Humans are endlessly fascinating. Like,
Yes.
that's why I love reality TV.
Yes. And
Yeah.
then the production side of it is another layer of fascination because you're like, not everybody has this media literacy that, you know, that
Yeah.
we have, that I'm assuming you guys have as well. Is like, some people will even say, oh, but I'm watching this on TV. How can they be over here? I'm like, no, you did not. No, you do not think the person on TV is actually doing that right now. Like, what? But knowing how production works, like that adds another layer. But then also with social media, that adds in this whole other dynamic that really makes so much sense to me now as to why Twitch and gaming are way bigger industries than the TV, movie, and music industries combined.
Wow.
Because
That's
if you think
huge.
about it, what they're getting, these gamers and people on Twitch, what they're getting that we're not getting on our side is they're making sure that they're finding ways for humans to connect while they're doing the same thing. Like they're playing the same game, but like there's people watching people play a game. That's like
Right.
the equivalent of people watching our podcast talking about a reality show. You know what I mean? Like it's
Right.
not much different,
Yes.
but I think we're a little bit slower on the technical side where like we should have something like Twitch where we're streaming the shows, we're talking about them, and we're interacting
Yeah.
and chatting with people. And that's what people like. They want to feel like
Yeah.
they're a part of a community. They want to feel like they're connecting with other humans, humans,
Yes.
not
Yes.
bots, nothing like, you know, electronic or automated. They want to know that there's someone on the other end. And as we keep progressing in the technical field, you know, that human connection just keeps fading more and more. So it's like people are willing to pay. That's what
I'm
it is.
also like for
Yeah.
me, like I didn't have cable, like didn't know much about Bravo, but I'm like, put some fucking respect on Bravo's name for what they do with Watch What Happens Live. 'Cause like
Oh,
as
yeah.
someone who's like in the past few years sort of like been initiated into this universe, it's so smart the way they have people like FaceTime in from home to ask their questions, and they have polls because they think it's like, yeah, it's like we want to interact with humans and we want to feel listened to. And if we
Yeah.
get to vote and then see the way the percentage ticks like change, like, and it's live and we know that there's other people doing this simultaneously, like it just like scratches that connection itch in such a smart way.
I also love, like, you watch how someone reacts to something, and sometimes it's so shocking and surprising that you're just desperately wanting to unpack it, and being able to like find someone who wants to unpack it as much as you want to is so thrilling and exciting. And that's like, I mean, most of my friends, I feel like we all connected, we all became closer because we do text each other about Vanderpump Rules or whatever reality show. So it kind of, I don't know, it's finding someone who's surprised by the same thing you are or feel the same way about someone's behavior or actions that you know you do is a really like bonding thing for me.
Yeah, and you can't just order that online anymore. I mean,
Yes,
you can
yes.
kind of, but like
Kind of,
in the traditional
yeah.
online ordering sense, you can't just be like, give me that shot of dopamine that goes straight to my
Yes.
brain because somebody interacted with me. You know what I mean? Like you
Yeah.
can't fake
Right.
that. You can't automate that.
Totally. And it was great. Like, I used to love when I was like working for Tom, I used to love going on Reddit and reading everything because I kind of do get that like special peek behind the curtain. And then I'm seeing what they are saying. And when they're like super accurate, it's like magic. You're like, how did you know that? And that's so exciting. And I'm kind of grieving right now that I can't participate in Reddit as much because sometimes I'll see something about me and then I'm like, oh, this is gonna affect me, so I'm just gonna turn my computer off. And that's like a thing that I'm like, oh, I one day I'll be like strong enough to come back.
Can you go in like anonymously and just F shit
I
up?
do. Oh
You
God,
do?
no. Actually, I will. Okay,
The can is
so.
the best, actually.
I
There we
don't have
go.
guts. I'm like, Reddit people are smart. They're gonna find out it's me
They're too
immediately.
smart. They're way
They're
too
too smart.
smart.
They're way too smart.
No, but it really is. There's like something, like I always was like, The Bachelor is Monday Night Football for a different demographic, where it's like, it's the exact same thing as sports. It's this community, it's ritualistic, it's this time once a week that reminds you to connect with a certain group of friends. It's this
The
like shared
consequences are
knowledge.
real. Yeah. Like
Right.
sports game, if your team loses, it's like crushing for the entire city. Like when, your favorite bachelorette gets kicked off, I'm mourning. I'm like, please let her be the bachelorette next. Like, please let her be on Batch in Paradise. Like, it's kind of the same thing.
Is there anything that you guys want to talk about before we go?
Oh, wow. I don't know. You go first, Amanda.
Okay, so I'm really trying to expand my Bravoverse. So, I've done Housewives of Beverly Hills, recent season of Salt Lake City, of course, Vanderpump. What are some of the other, oh, and Summer House, I fucking adore. What are the other, like, for you as someone who's like covered this so extensively, like, what are the ones that, like, to this day still you find very entertaining or thought-provoking?
Think Shaws of Sunset
Okay.
is underappreciated.
Okay.
And I think actually it's starting to get recognized more because now it's on Peacock, I believe. So you can go binge it there. That's one I recommend. I kind of like the non-housewife shows, like Vanderpump, obviously, Summer House. I used to be into every single Below Deck, but Captain
Oh.
Sandy kind of ruined it for me.
Wait,
Oh my God, why would I like her? She's the worst. She's a micromanager. She fired Anna for having a weed pen.
Unacceptable.
Her. Yeah. She just sucks.
That's amazing.
But the
Can I
new captain
wait?
is really
Yeah.
good on Below Deck, Captain Carey. So I highly
Okay.
Beautiful.
I'm gonna admit this. I can't believe I'm admitting this. I like Captain Sandy. I'm sorry.
You too. It's okay. I won't hold it against you. Even Kate Chastain likes Captain Sandy. And I'm like,
Oh,
why?
I love Kate. I'm obsessed with
My gosh, I
her.
love Kate too. So, what shows have you watched so far, Amanda, on Bravo, since you've come back?
It was pretty much like at my old job, if ever we were interviewing someone, it was a big like binge catch up. So I watched some Southern Charm.
Oh,
I
gosh.
watched, oh yeah. It's like,
Wait, what do
oh
you think
my.
about that? Because I have like a visceral reaction to Southern Charm, similar to Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, Southern Charm. Sorry.
No,
Sorry, you
go
didn't
off,
ask
go
me.
off.
So go
No,
ahead, go
you're
ahead.
taking it away, Anne, please.
No, we
It's
were talking
open.
about. We were talking about like Bravo and Weed. They what's her name? The young
Catherine.
woman who is that? No, not Catherine. Or no, wait, maybe it is Catherine. Yeah, she like had to go to rehab because
Yes.
they caught her with weed. And then
Yes.
by like the ninth season, they're having like a weed dinner, and she's like,
Yes.
this sucks for me.
It's
Yeah,
insane, right?
it's
And she
insane.
still
Yeah.
doesn't have custody of her children.
Oh,
Damn.
I mean, there's like other stuff
Yeah,
going
she
on
did
there.
say
The whole show
it's
is so crazy. The executive producer is Whitney, who's on the show. His mother's
on the show.
Patricia. And when they started the show, he was sleeping with Catherine, who was 20 years younger than him, who wound up getting
Yes.
pregnant with Thomas, who was
Who was
like
like
30 years
50.
older.
Yeah.
It's
What? Oh
sick.
my
It's
God. It's
sick.
so.
It's
It's a crazy
sick.
documentary. Yeah, it's a wild, wild documentary. It's like I watched that, like I watched like Capturing the Freedmans, where I'm just like, this is horrifying and I can't
It's
stop.
like Fire Festival or like Woodstock 99. I'm still scarred from those documentaries.
Yeah,
I do think,
100%.
Anne, one time we were talking and you were like kind of, we were definitely high. And like, we were like, it's Vanderpump is anthropology and like reality TV. And like, Anne, you said something about like basically like thinking about Vanderpump as having documented these people's lives. And like, obviously, it's not a documentary in certain journalistic senses, but it is like, it does document these people. And it's crazy to think about how this is like the first generation of that. Like, I think, of course, we're seeing that like there's some real mental health like dangers to the internet these days, but like, oh my, the studies that the scientists are gonna do about the effect
This
of being
is,
on reality TV.
like the first generation where people are actually seeing themselves. Like, I feel like when they're shooting the show, they don't realize what they look like or perceived like to other people. And then they see themselves. And then by the reunion, they're like, I fucked up. And you're like, yeah, thank you.
But also it's like, I don't know, there's something about, and maybe this is just like from like disordered de eating POV, but like it's like when you see people like show up to the reunion like so much skinnier, and like I there's just something about like knowing that this like fucking egregious, really punishing environment where like for everybody, but like especially for women, where it's like, if you've seen yourself on reality TV, God forbid you like sit comfortably and
I
like there's a
know.
roll on your stomach and you just see these people who have so clearly like hyper analyzed their bodies and then accordingly like starved themselves. Like there's something really fucking dark about that.
No, for sure. There's so much darkness in the reality world, and I don't know why I'm fascinated with stuff like that, but I'm like, let me see what is happening here. Who's like, I just want to know how to avoid that kind of stuff. I have three children, and as a parent, I'm like trying to figure out how to navigate this world and make sure I educate my children on every single thing possible so that they can make the right decisions and know how to stay out of trouble and stay safe. Do you feel
Totally.
like,
It's like, oh, I was just
go
gonna
ahead,
say
go ahead.
it's my same fascination with like true crime, where you're just
Yes.
like, I know this is horrible, but I can't stop because A, I have like my own traumas, but and I feel like I'm being able to like investigate this world and this scary mind that I'm terrified of so that I could avoid it as at all costs.
I was gonna ask Jenny, like, when you podcast, do you ever think about like your like this as media that is available that your kids could potentially consume one day? Like you know the phrase like write like your parents are dead? Like, do you feel like you in any way change the way you approach this with kids?
No.
Hell yeah.
No, I don't,
Hell yeah.
because I, well, like there's certain things that I wouldn't tell my 4-year-old, but I would tell my 14-year-old, you know? And so I know that my 4-year-old and 5-year-olds aren't listening to my podcast. They might when they're older, but I know that whatever I say, it's authentic and genuine, and I feel it in this moment at this time when it's recording. I may not feel the same way later on, but I don't feel like there's anything that, I mean, there may be some things where I'm like, I wish I didn't say that, but
Yeah, that's natural.
I control everything. I can literally just go back and delete it. And granted, some people could like screen record it or something, but at the end of the day, I have the ultimate control over what's out there. So I'm not really worried about it.
Totally. Oh,
What
that's
about you
amazing.
guys? Are you guys like, do you worry about what? Actually, you know what? My mother has made comments to me. She said, I swear too much. I was like, Kyung Sun, hello, this is not even for you. He's like, Jenny Paw, I think
My
you.
God, Asian mothers are brutal. I can
Oh my gosh,
attest
she's
to
like,
that. Yeah,
Jenny
so
Paw, you
much
swear
judgment.
too much. I'm like, T maybe too much for you, but you're not my audience. So back
Yeah.
up, lady. Why are
Truly,
you
truly.
listening? You don't even know what I'm talking
Yeah.
about.
Get out of here, Mom.
No,
Yeah.
it was like the underwear company parade. Like I submitted like through my personal Instagram because I just really liked them. Like they're very size inclusive, nice materials, et cetera. So they were just a brand that I was like, I really fucking like them. Became an ambassador. My mom was like, Amanda, if you post pictures of yourself in underwear on the internet, you're gonna get a stalker. And I was like, Mom, no. Like I was like, Mom, you should see the gorgeous women of the internet. Like there are so many. Like nobody's gonna choose me to stalk. Like that is not gonna happen.
But isn't
Our
that kind of
Patreon,
flattering?
yeah.
I'm like,
Well,
thank you.
our Patreon is literally you could pay $1 to see a upskirt photoshop of Amanda, and I Photoshop it to like a different. So like for Easter, she's like the upskirt Photoshop with like a Easter bunny being like, oh no, or like.
It was just like our first ever photo shoot when we were getting ready to like pitch the show, or like have an iPhone on like a colorful wall down the street from us. We're using the self timer. And then we go through the photos, and like I'm wearing like Anne dressed me in an awesome fit because like Anne is fashion extraordinaire. She's a thrift store goddess. And I'm like, I'm a
Thank
doll, put me in the good clothes. But then the way I was posing, you could see I was wearing these bright pink underwear.
Yeah.
It was like
And it was like,
75% of the photos were useless because of
yeah.
me.
And we spent
Oh,
all
man.
day taking these photos, and we're like, oh, we can't use 3/4 of this.
Isn't that the worst? Oh, my gosh. But Amanda and Anne, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. It's been such a pleasure getting to know you more. Please tell us where we can continue to get to know you both more.
Amanda?
Oh, okay, sure. We signed an NDA. Wherever you get podcasts, we're on Instagram. My personal Instagram is Lifford the Big Red Dog, and I'm gonna just say this for Anne has a cameo. She does phenomenal work. She does phenomenal work. She's a natural born performer. She's funny. She's creative. So I'm gonna say plug the shit out of Anne's cameo
Yes.
because it's worth
You're so
every cent
sweet.
you could possibly pay.
I love
Oh my God, you're
cameos. They're my favorite. I really do.
My Instagram is MikiAnnMeddox, Mickey M Maddox. Ann Maddox was taken, so I did my full birth name. Mickey's my Japanese name,
Thanks again,
so.
everyone. Until next time, stay lit.